At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. This is Fantasy Today, along with George Kurtz for the next 2 hours. We got you covered. Everything going on in fantasy, reality. Of course, the last week of the baseball season is here. We've got a couple of news and notes in the NFL. A couple of relevant players from the past are also going to be approaching us in terms of fantasy, maybe in the future. George, A happy George Kurtz day to you. Your Dallas Cowboys on Monday night, they showed up, they covered the spread, they broke my heart, trying to have a near-perfect week in the Super Contest, took the Eagles on both sides. That was obviously a massive disappointment for me, but congratulations to you, George. Dallas looked very good yesterday.
They did look good. And listen, I think Philadelphia ran into a buzzsaw last night anyway. I don't know if a lot of teams would have had a chance there. Dallas home opener, Monday night, things are rocking. And Philadelphia, listen, they're a so-so team. I mean, it's a rebuilding team. They got work to do here. But in my mind, for the Eagles, this season's about one thing and one thing only. Jalen Hurts, is he your quarterback of the future? You have to figure it out this year. Anything else you get as far as competition and going to the playoffs, that's a bonus. Right? You got to figure out about Hurts because you have those extra number ones next year. And are you going to keep Hurts or are you going to use those picks on a quarterback? So you got to make up your mind. You have 14 more games to make up your mind if he's the man or not. As for the Cowboys, listen, I'll be the first to tell you, Greg, all offseason, I was making fun of everything they did, right? It's not the players' fault your defense was terrible last year. It was the coach's fault. Well, maybe Jerry Jones is right because Dan Quinn's got that. There's not a whole lot of talent there, but he's got that defense flying around and believing in themselves. And they're playing bend but don't break, but they're also doing it and getting turnovers. They lead the NFL in takeaways. My mind is blown just saying that. I can't remember the last time the Cowboys had 8 takeaways in a season, more or less three games.
Yeah, Trayvon Diggs is playing great. And Micah Parsons, look, they have some playmakers now on defense that they didn't have. And, a lot of people will be buying in on Dallas after last night for sure. Let's get to our headlines here on the show. It's 28th of September, 2021. Cowboys dominate Philadelphia from start to finish. Jalen Hurts, pretty funny comments after the game last night, basically saying, when you go to the bathroom and then you're finished, you don't want to look at it. And that's the way that he felt about last night's game, too. The Nuggets and Michael Porter Jr. agreed to a max extension, so Denver gets him locked up. That's really good news for them. They had a great season last year. Josh Gordon is back again, this time with the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll dive into that here in a second. Mitch Haniger had a great night last night for the Seattle Mariners. And with Boston reeling a little bit, you got the Mariners, you got the Yankees, you got the Red Sox, and you got the Blue Jays, George. And there's only 2 spots for those 4 teams. So we'll see if your Yankees get it done. But, you know, to say that this is a crucial week would be the understatement. I think that probably we're going to head toward a 1-game playoff next Monday.
I don't see how we can avoid it. I mean, you mentioned the Red Sox. The Yankees did what they had to do. And the reason they had to sweep Boston is because the Yankees have the toughest schedule by far remaining. They're going to play Toronto for 3 games and then play Tampa Bay for 3 games. How much Tampa has to play for? Well, that'll have a lot to do with Tuesday through Thursday home field advantage throughout, how well they do against it. They're playing the Houston Astros. And I think Houston's the team that's trying to catch them for that advantage. So if you're a Yankee fan, you're really rooting for Tampa Bay these next 3 games. Put that away. This way they'll rest some players over the weekend. You're hoping they will. But Tampa will always get to decide. Remember, they're going to play the winner of the wild card. They're going to get to decide. Do we want the Yankees in? Nah. You know, let's play everybody. Or maybe we do want the Yankees in. We'll rest some people. Yeah, I wonder. Gabe Morency brought this up last night. It's a great talking point. The Rays and Blue Jays had their little brouhaha during the week, right? Because Kiermaier stole the scouting report. And, right. Yeah, you know, Rays like, screw the Jays. All right? You know what? You're not getting in. We're going to let the Yankees in. You know, we're gonna play open with a triple-A play. It'd be hilarious if it's stuff like that. Or maybe they want to play the Jays to get more revenge on them. Oh, no. It's going to be an interesting situation. Boston plays nobody, Craig. I mean, how does Boston not go at least 5-1 playing the Orioles and the Nationals? At least 5-1. I mean, I that's why it's hard. It's really hard for the Yankees to get in. Toronto has had the Yankees number all year. They played the Yankees for three games. It's Ryu versus Talion tonight. Who knows who's going to get out of Talion? Hasn't pitched in, what, a month? And, you know, he was so-so. Anyway, Kluber's going on Thursday? I mean, it's hard to have a lot of confidence there as a Yankee fan. Cole goes tomorrow. I think the Yankees are going to go about 3-3, maybe 4-2. They got to get the 4-2, and that'll at least get them to at least that one game playoff on Monday.
Yeah, crazy ending to this season for sure. Real quick, George, Josh Gordon, I just don't understand why this is a thing again. Do people not remember the last time Josh Gordon played a couple of years ago? Don't get me wrong. 8 years ago, he was a fantasy star. But so much being made of him going to Kansas City. Maybe I'm just off and I'm missing something here, but I just have no interest in this.
No, listen, it's a name sort of, and a guy's been suspended, what, 18 times? And I'm not that far off, by the way. It's a lot. I said, I hope he has his life together. Maybe he does something, but I agree with you. All right, this guy's well past his prime. Learning the wide receiver route tree in the midseason, good luck with that. He'll have a couple of plays designed to him. That's about it. It'll grow as the season goes on here. But this is more of a long-term play for the end of the season for Kansas City than anything else, or maybe to cover some injuries. As far as fantasy is concerned, no thank you. I'll pass.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like a tight end the last time I saw him on a field, but maybe I'm wrong about this. I just was shocked to see so much being made of this. But nonetheless, it's a fantasy relevant.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
In conversation. Also, by the way, Richard Sherman, potential future Hall of Famer, meeting with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers today, which is probably a great spot for anybody who wants to try and chase a Super Bowl. Tampa Bay taking on New England this week. We'll have a preview of that game coming up a little bit later. But up next, we will dissect the fantasy relevance of last night's Monday night game.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Dive into the Monday night football game, which, I mean, I suppose at one point when Philadelphia was down 2 touchdowns, you thought that there was a chance it would be competitive, but basically it was fantasy or wagering last night on that game. There was really not a lot of competitiveness. The total, I guess, was in jeopardy toward the end of the game, but if you had fantasy ramifications like I did, it was important. So I was down 11 points, George, last night. And I had CeeDee Lamb, and I had Greg Zuerlein, and Zuerlein had missed an extra point, and CeeDee Lamb only had one catch going into the half, but then it did go over, and then, of course, Zuerlein did make some extra points at the end of the game. So one of my leagues, I am 3-0 to start the season. The other one, 2-1. I'd love to get your thoughts here on the Cowboys specifically, so let's look at their standouts from Monday Night Football. Dak Prescott, a very efficient night, and when you see these numbers, they're pretty good in a game where he didn't even really need to do this. 21 of 26, 238 passing yards, and 3 touchdowns. This was the best we've seen Ezekiel Elliott for sure. 95 rushing yards, 3 receptions, and 2 touchdowns. Lamb, as I mentioned, 1 catch in the first half. They just really didn't need to target him or go deep, and he's their deep threat. And then Dalton Schultz, man, was just throwing the ball over the middle, and this guy was just trucking people all the way to the end zone. 6 catches, 80 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So before we get to Philadelphia, let's focus here on Dallas. This was probably not an exciting outcome, George, for a lot of people who needed a lot from Dallas yesterday. But they still ended up with 41 points. 7 of them was on a defensive touchdown. And this is just the nature sometimes of the NFL. You never know what to expect going into a game. If you told somebody that you needed 25 fantasy points going in, having Dallas's players, and you saw 41 points, you'd say, oh, I definitely won. But quiet game for Cooper, quiet game for Lamb, and good game for Zeke Elliott for sure.
Yeah, Cooper, I thought, was always going to have a quiet game. He was going to be up against Darius Slay, and Slay has shut down Cooper from his Detroit days. Always had, for the most part, always had good games against Cooper. So that was not a surprise that the Cowboys wouldn't force it to Cooper. Not going to go up against Slay, and he's had your number pretty much. I thought the Cowboys were very smart yesterday. Why weren't Dak's numbers pretty or Lamb's numbers pretty? Well, because the offensive line mauled the Philadelphia defensive line. There were wide open holes for Zeke and Pollard to run through. I mean, my God. They kept with it. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, there's no reason to have Dak go back there 40, 50 times if you don't need to. Run the ball, you know, kill the clock, keep that defense off the field anyway and keep them fresh. And they had so many more plays than Philadelphia. I know at one point, I think through about the fourth quarter, Philadelphia had only run 35 plays. 35! That's 12 a quarter. That's terrific. You know, so Cowboys are doing a smart thing there. They didn't feel the need to look pretty and go for the long, deep pass to impress the fans on a Monday night. No, run the ball. Run the ball. You get 6-7 yards a carry. Keep running the ball some more. Offensive line dominated. And the offensive line should only get better in a couple of games when I assume Lael Collins isn't going to bribe anybody else to try and, miss a P-test. I mean, this is a weird story. But, he's one of their better offensive linemen, probably their second or third top offensive lineman. So when he comes back, that'll help that line. But good to see the Cowboys sort of mature, Craig. Like, and not doing things they don't need to do. Do what you need to do to win the game. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Running the ball was working. Run, and run some more. And Dak picked them apart when he had to. So a good game all around. And that defense, they're flying. They're feeling it. Micah Parsons, unbelievable for a rookie to bring this kind of energy. And listen, I'll give Quinn his props too. But Micah Parsons, I can't say enough. Even as, I mean, really, I know I'm a Cowboy fan, so I'm biased. But think about this. The man played his second NFL game. He's a linebacker, and he's told during the week, we're going to put you at defensive end. All right, we have Gregory's out. You know, Lawrence is out. We need a pass rush. We're going to put you at defensive end. And he was good, and he's added energy to that team. I mean, last night he was rushing again, and he was good again. They had another sack last night. So good for the Cowboys. And more importantly, schedule eases up a little bit. You know, now they can really take advantage, and there's nobody in the NFC East they really should be worried about. All of those teams have problems.
Yeah, Washington, especially with that defense. I mean, you would think that would be a good matchup for the Washington football team in a defensive battle, but not after giving up 40-plus to Buffalo last week, that's for sure. Last thing here on the tight end position for Dallas, Dalton Schultz came alive last year, George, when Blake Jarwin was hurt and he was out for the season. Is there any reason to believe that Dalton Schultz shouldn't be the guy at tight end now with Dallas? I know at the beginning of the season in fantasy, there were still some let's go back to Jarwin people, but I don't see how that can be the case.
Schultz caught the Cowboys by surprise last year. They did not expect this from him. They thought he'd be okay, decent player, but nowhere near the offensive threat he is. And Jarwin was supposed to be this guy. He was their downfield threat. They actually got two good tight ends here. Schultz is also a free agent at the end of the year. Money coming for him next year. So I think there's no reason. Once again, I don't think Dallas is going to change things. You know, why change it? They don't owe anything to Jarwin, not this coaching staff. Remember, Jarwin was good before McCarthy got there. Barely played a couple of quarters with McCarthy. So no, I think it's going to be Schultz. He's playing well with Dak. They have a rapport. I don't think they're going to change things up. I think they like the fact they have another tight end they can go to. But Jarwin could be a case where injuries sort of cost you a lot here, right? You tore the ACL last year, missed 99% of the season, and you may not be getting your starting job back.
Yeah, let's go to Philadelphia last night, and didn't get much really from anyone outside of Jalen Hurts. 326 passing yards and threw two interceptions. So if you lose points for picks, he really didn't help you all that much. He only rushed for 35 yards and two touchdowns. Miles Sanders was really the big disappointment here. Didn't get a lot of carries in this game. Not really sure what Philadelphia's game plan is going to be with him, but I mean, is he even startable at this point? 35 rushing yards, three receptions, 28 yards. Gainwell got some action too. Jalen Reagor, 5 for 53. Devonta Smith, nowhere near any fantasy standouts from last night. And I suppose if somebody cut Zach Ertz after the first couple of weeks of the season, and people probably could have, he did nothing. And then all of a sudden last night he was active again, and Goddard was active, and it was like that old Philly offense with those two tight ends again, George. And so Ertz should be a decent pickup because it looks like he's healthy and it looks like he's playing. And it's hard to keep tight ends that are backups on your roster that aren't playing. And so he was one of the most cut players in fantasy last week, but I'm guessing people will jump back onto him. And so we'll see what happens with Hurts. It was definitely, as you said, a really tough matchup going into Monday night, but boy, like a lot of struggles that we hadn't seen previously with him.
Yeah. I think once again, Hurts didn't play well against in Texas Stadium or AT&T Stadium last year as well. All right. So I don't think this is a big shock here. Just maybe a bugaboo stadium for him right now. He'll work it out. But it didn't look good last night. I mean, you can't throw that pass in the first series where you really underthrew, I forget who it was, the receiver there, made it easy at the sets for Anthony Brown. That really can't happen. All right, you were driving the ball there, you're getting some of the momentum back, and then you get it picked off. Yeah, I know Philadelphia got the fumble for the next play for a touchdown, but that shouldn't have happened there. So there is, he's not a rookie, but he's a young quarterback learning. They've given him some weapons, right? You draft out Devonta Smith, you mentioned Ertz and got it really. Great tandem, maybe the best tight end tandem in the league here. Fantasy-wise, though, I think it's going to drive people nuts sometimes where one guy gets it and the other guy doesn't. But Ertz is playing well. The reason he was dropped last week, he also was on the COVID list. Right? He came back quickly. We weren't expecting him to come back that quick. So he came back. So that was probably why a lot of people gave up on him as well. I still wonder with Philadelphia, Craig, do they trade Ertz by the deadline? You know, they got Goddard. You know, you're not going to give him a contract anyway. Ertz would make a lot of sense for a couple of really competitive teams here. I wonder if they'll move him by the deadline.
Yeah. And look, we have to wait and see how Philadelphia is. If they're on target for a 9-8 season, that's, you know, an extra playoff spot this year, George. You know, there's a possibility that they could make it. And the Giants have not looked good. Washington has not looked good. So that second spot in the East, unlike the last couple of years where 6-10 got you nowhere. I mean, 8-9 may get you in this year in this expanded playoff format. So certainly we'll see. That recaps our Monday night game and our Monday night fantasy standouts. Coming up next, right here on Sports Grid, it's time for us to give you your first look at the waiver wire in fantasy football this week. For those of you who are playing in season-long leagues, we've identified a handful of names that are probably sitting out there on the wire or maybe even some teams caught last week. So we're going to dive into those names next, and we'll help you out with that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
3 weeks of the fantasy football season in the books. Who are my surprises? Who are my disappointments? How about George Kurtz? Who are his surprises and disappointments through the first 3 weeks? We're going to dive into those as well here on the show. So make sure you stay with us here on Sports Grid. We're here till 2 o'clock on the East on Fantasy Sports Today. And don't go away. We're back in just 2 minutes. Stay on the grid. We're back with our fantasy football waiver wire target.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This will probably be the first week for a lot of folks playing fantasy football where they're really going to be taking a look at the waiver wire. We're just at the point of the season, a month in, where in all likelihood, either you've had an injury or you want to get ahead of it. There may be some players that you're looking out there to sort of prepare for. I know that this is going to be a key week for me. I'm going to have to start taking a deeper look at this. Haven't had to do much, fortunately, in the first 3 weeks. But when you lose Christian McCaffrey and you lose T. Higgins and some others, you got to make the moves. So, George, let's take a look at a brief list of potential players to pick up. And I want to ask you about one more as well. But we'll start off Peyton Barber. He's taking on the Chargers this week. Barber rushed for over 100 yards and very much tied into the injury of Josh Jacobs. But who knows? I mean, maybe John Gruden likes this guy. Like, that's the hard part to understand. J.J. Taylor, does he replace James White? Is Bolden going to get more playing time? They play the Buccaneers this week. A.J. Green has put himself back in the fantasy conversation. They take on the Rams, Arizona. Sammy Watkins, with what's been going on with Hollywood Brown. Once again, another season where Lamar Jackson just doesn't have the weapons again, and maybe Watkins is that guy at Denver. And then New England pretty much established last week that Kendrick Bourne is going to be a big part of their offense. And again, he is in a matchup against Tampa Bay. So, George, of these in the discussion, are any interest to you in terms of adding? Is there one over the other, or are there some that you're just not interested in? Let's walk through these here a little bit.
Well, I think once again, we're playing fantasy football. We're always looking at the running back position, right? That's the always position that's the bugaboo for us. There aren't enough to go around here. And I know it's because of Josh Jacobs. He's been out again, but I don't think Gruden likes Jacobs. I just don't. I'm not sure he's thrilled about Kenyon Drake either, because he's not the main guy taking over for him. So I think Barber might have some run here. Now, listen, it might be only last a couple of games, and then Jacobs goes back. It's a three-headed monster. That's going to be annoying as well once Jacobs is healthy. But Barber's the first guy I'm looking at here, because I think, at the very least, I might get another week out of him. Yeah, it's a Monday night game against the Chargers. Not a great matchup there. But he's the first person I'm going to look at here. The problem with A.J. Green, he's the name guy here. Well, that's a lot because Hopkins was banged up, right? And you're also going to worry about Christian Kirk. What about Rondell Moore? I mean, there's so many guys here. You know, A.J. Green's the name guy. You know, the Hall of Famer in the future coming here. But it could be a pick-your-poison-each-week guy as to which one it becomes here. And you're right about Watkins, by the way. I'm not going anywhere near Kendrick Bourne and that New England offense. I'm just not doing it. Watkins, have we been burned by this before? I know I have. You know, and I wouldn't spend any kind of fab money that I didn't mind losing. A couple of dollars, fine. Even $1,000 fab, a couple of dollars, fine. I'm not going any much higher than that because I know as soon as I get him on my team, he's going to be terrible again. Absolutely terrible. And Marquise Brown, for the love of God, these are hands. Catch the football. I mean, he dropped, what, two touchdown passes? And when I say drop, I mean he dropped. All right, anybody could have caught these passes. And another easy long pass as well. I don't know what was going on Sunday. That's the only reason that game was close.
Yeah, I think that for sure, as it pertains to Brown, I don't know how you can play him in the upcoming week for sure. And that's a good game, by the way, at Denver. Let's dive into a little bit more here on the running back situation in New England. J.J. Taylor was a player, George, that we heard a lot about going into the regular season, but it only would have required an injury. Now, you basically illustrated it here, but to dive back in, Damian Harris is a starter. Ramondre Stevenson is also there. Brandon Bolden is someone that we just have to understand is going to be part somewhat, even if it's 10 snaps, of their offense. With White being out and basically New England, we assume, and we don't know, but New England playing from behind, do you think that Belichick would entrust Taylor in, let's say, 5 targets this week out of the backfield?
That's what you're looking for, right? We're looking for the guy who's going to catch the ball. Because nobody runs against Tampa Bay as it is, All right, we saw that in week one. Dallas abandoned the run with Ezekiel Elliott. They didn't even bother. Other teams are Detroit. A little bit more. The Rams, to their credit, ran the ball decent. Right, ran the ball decent against them, but it's a passing. You got to pass against them. And I don't think Bill is necessarily going to bang his head against the wall. Bill and McDaniels will bang their head against the ball and try running and knowing, all right, now Mac Jones in second nine. So we're looking for the pass catching back there. Now, I've said this for years. We all have, really. Playing the Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels guessing game at running back, I mean, whatever hair I have left is going to go away real quick playing that game. And I don't know what's going on with Stevenson, by the way. Why has he been banished?
Yeah.
It's weird. I mean, you just drafted the guy. Why is, I mean, is he going to get back in now? Because now they need somebody. So I don't know. We have Bolden. Does he have naked pictures on Bill? I don't know. He has blackmail. I'm shocked he's still around. More or less, you say, oh, Mike, he's actually been productive somewhat. It's like I said, it's the guessing game here. If you want to go for it, go for it. Now, you light on running back, fine. But I'm not, once again, I'm not spending any kind of fab that I'm afraid of losing here. Because I know even if I guess right this week, next week it won't be that guy. He's going to go the other way, and I'm going to be angry, banging my head against the wall and throwing things at the TV. It's just the way it is with New England. It's always that way. It's hard to get it right from week to week because Bill has no loyalty to anybody. And I don't say that meanly, by the way. This is how you win football games. If he believes that this week is Stevenson, next week it is Bolden, that's what he's doing. He doesn't care about your ego. All right? No, the game plan is for you this week, but next week we're going to win with this guy, and I don't care about you. And you see it over and over again. He doesn't believe in bringing in a top wide receiver. Never has at the Moss or running back. Just doesn't believe in it. He's going to play by piecemeal and whichever guy he thinks gives him the best chance to win.
Yeah, and that's been the case. Look, it's been Danny Woodhead. Remember him? He was part of the equation there. Rex Burkhead. Like it's just different guys he's used through the years. Shane Vereen. You just keep going back. All kinds of players used, and then they make careers out of it. Deion Lewis is another one too. Okay, so you may need to pull up a depth chart here because it looks to me, and it's funny, Davis yesterday sort of poo-pooed on this one, but I got to go back to this again. If Tennessee is going to be throwing the ball like we think that they are, and Corey Davis is not there, and let's just for the sake of this show say that A.J. Brown is questionable this week, because it appears that he is with the hamstring. I mean, this is a dynamic offense. They can't play defense, but it's a dynamic offense. So this Westbrook Ekine, who I had never heard of before last week, 78% of the offensive snaps. Julio Jones played less than 50% because he was in and out with an injury. So I don't know. Like, to me, that's probably the guy that I want to, take a little bit of a dart throw on in a 1 week scenario, George. Long term, no way. I mean, I understand who certainly AJ Brown is, and they didn't just get Julio Jones to not play him. But Julio Jones hasn't been the model of health over the last year either. So at least I got to discuss it here, George. I don't know if you feel anything on this player.
Well, first off, I had no idea who Westbrook Ekine is before this week either. Never heard. Oh, I've heard Westbrook a couple of times, but never the guy with the hyphen Ekine. So, no, I had no idea about the player either. Chester Rogers had a nice game on Sunday as well here. You bring this up, and I won't poo-poo. I won't, because I think there is something here. As it's thundering outside, nice. I knew it was going to rain. Jeez. Who are they playing on Sunday, Craig? It's thundering. You know,
I got to look that up.
They're playing the Jets. The J-E-T-S.
Oh, they're playing the Jets? Oh, good. I can just put this right back. That's a guaranteed pickup. Thank you.
Right. That's what I mean. There's definitely – they're playing Denver? No, we're not talking about this. But they're playing the Jets. Yeah. I think there's some interest here. And once again, you may – maybe not in a 10-team league. Maybe a 12-team and above league. And I agree with what you said. It's not long-term. You're really looking to hit the lottery this week. And I think there's a shot here. I don't think A.J. Brown's going to play. All right. Their listing was questionable. I think it's more questionable / doubtful. All right, he left that game early. And once again, they're playing the Jets. They're not going to need A.J. Brown to beat the Jets. They're not. Vrabel was asked about what you said about Julio Jones. Why did he only play, 38% of the snaps or 48% of the snaps?
He played 50% of the snaps and only 34 total plays on offense.
So they're managing him. They're managing him. And guess what? You're going to keep managing him against the Jets because the Jets are terrible. All right, sorry, the Jets are maybe the worst team in football, and I don't think it's going to be solved this weekend. I just don't think it's going to be. So, yeah, I think there could be a shot here for Rodgers or Westbrook Ekine. I am with you here. I'm not saying that it's the best pickup of the week. I'm not saying that. But But if you're in a 12-team league, you know, your options may be limited here. And he's a guy might sneak under the radar. You might be able to just bid a couple of dollars and get him rather than spending 12 on Watkins or a higher amount on somebody else. So I am with you here because of the matchup, because I don't think A.J. Brown plays, because Julio Jones, I think he'll be managed once again. There's going to be opportunities for both Rodgers and DeKine.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So that's our look at the waiver wire. Of course, tomorrow, George and Davis will dive into it again and make some final decisions for you come Thursday. I'm sure a lot of you are making pickups on Wednesday and Thursday. Those of you who are interested in the waiver wire and maybe, you know, you're looking for something on social media to just basically cut and paste or maybe record so you can watch later on, a great way to get all of our information, whether it is Fantasy Sports Today or The Early Line, Morning After, those are some of our shows here on Sports Grid. Go over to our social media channels on Twitter and follow us at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're posting fun videos, information. I saw a tweet earlier today about the top five businesses, I believe, startup businesses that should be having an eye on in wagering, and we are there, listed there. So that was pretty cool to see. Everything that's going on here on Sports Grid, follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Can't recommend it enough. Do it now, and you'll be rewarded at the end of the season with some good insight and information. All right, we'll take a quick time out here on Fantasy Sports Today, but we got plenty more to come here on the show. And when we come back, it is time to talk about our surprises and our disappointments in the fantasy football season. So I'll have a few, and George will have a few as well. A little bit later in the show, our first look at the NBA. Those of you who are playing in season-long leagues, there's another great way that you could do it this season. It, of course, is on the Underdog app. Give you a nice little promo code to get you started there if you choose. Brett Levy will join us to talk NBA a little bit later in the show. We'll be right back. Fantasy football surprises and disappointments next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It's time for us to take a look through 3 weeks of the fantasy football season at some of the surprises and disappointments. And so George has some surprises from this past week. I have some surprises from the entire season. So we'll take two different angles looking at this, which should give you some interest in terms of how we feel about the season. George, before we get into this, one of the big misnomers for me about fantasy football is when people say after 3 weeks there is still time. Now, in a 17-week regular season, if you are an NFL team, that is a great answer if your team is 1-2. But if you are 1-2 in a fantasy football season, you've already played about 15% of the regular season in fantasy football. It is time to get your team turned around. And if you are 3-0, congratulations, because a large majority of you are going to end up making the playoffs this year.
Yeah, now you and I are big baseball fantasy players as well. In baseball, it is a marathon. I'm not panicking or slow a little April here. I'll figure things out. In football, it's a sprint. You know, 1-2, I'm not panicking. 0-3, I am flipping out. You know, I got to win. Next week's a must win. If I lose, I'm done. I can start looking forward to fantasy hockey. All right, that's the way my mind will work there. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. If you're under 500, you're worried. If you got a 0 in the win percentage, you better pull out a W this week no matter what.
Yeah, I think you basically you can't be 0-4 in a fantasy football league and do anything unless you've been super unlucky. You've had so many points and your league gets you in if you have the most points. I mean, that's part of the equation now. In fact,
which
one of the leagues I'm in, reward. Yeah, I mean, every league is different, so certainly it's still a possibility. All right, so here are my fantasy football surprises thus far this season, George. For me, Mike Williams of the Chargers was nowhere near my radar. I just never thought of him, never considered him. A player that's been hurt a lot, quite frankly, over the last couple of years. And even with Justin Herbert having the year that he had last year, I just didn't see a breakout. And I mean, these numbers, George, if you would have told me Mike Williams had 22 catches, 295 yards, and 4 touchdowns for the entire season before the year, I would have said, oh, well, I mean, I guess that's possible. But that's what he's done through 3 weeks. I mean, he has just been as good as any receiver in the NFL. Kirk Cousins, speaking of which, now I know that Cousins has done this before in the early parts of NFL seasons, so we'll just have to monitor this one. But right now, primarily, if you're playing in leagues where you lose -2 or -1 for interceptions, he's thrown no picks this year. 8 touchdowns, no interceptions, 918 passing yards. He's a QB1. And then another player who I am shocked. I mean, he is on one of my teams, to give you full transparency here, but it was not somebody that I wanted at all. He's also on the Chargers. But Melvin Gordon right now is grading out as an RB1 in fantasy. It has been that bad. 193 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns. He's averaged 2 catches per game. He's got 76 receiving yards. I mean, I'm stunned that Gordon, even after Gordon, and he's on Denver, by the way. I put Chargers, that's my fault. Even after Denver ended up signing Javonte Williams, I mean, Gordon is still a major part of their offense, George, and I don't think that that's going away. So, those three all to me are just stunning developments to start the season.
The Mike Williams thing still has me laughing in the back of my head here. Because you're right. Listen, I play in, 11? I think 11 leagues. I don't have Mike Williams in any of those teams. All right, because I was like, fine. I didn't mind. I wasn't going against him, but I wasn't looking to grab him here. He's never popped up on my team here. And he's the alpha right now there. Not that Allen's playing poorly. He's not. But Mike Williams is the guy. He's the guy that we thought he'd be when they drafted him, right? And they're a throwing team for the most part here. We know Herbert can get that ball anywhere he wants. He can make any throw here. Williams taking advantage. So good for him. Absolutely good for him. Kirk Cousins, he has done this before. Maybe not this week playing Cleveland. We'll see. Cleveland, a little bit of better defense there. Maybe you're not quite the numbers there, but he's got two great wide receivers, right? He's got Thielen, he's got Jefferson. They've got a very good running game to keep defenses honest. Doesn't matter who's back there, whether it's Dalvin Cook, whether it's Alexander Mattison, don't matter, right? They can run the ball. Kirk Cousins probably doesn't get the respect that maybe he should or the love he should, because we'd be fun of him for doing some weird things from time to time here. And as you said, Melvin Gordon, I think the best thing I can say about Melvin Gordon is I had somebody in the industry, I forget who, so I apologize, who played for a long time, goes, that's it. I'm never drafting a running back in the first round ever again, because so many of them get hurt and they're disappointing. And it may not be the wrong thing, Greg. Wide receivers are generally more predictable. They generally don't get banged up. Maybe their numbers are going to be a little easier here. That was in reference to McCaffrey or Dalvin Cook. That's the reason why some of these lower guys are up in our as a running back one, because the guys that we took in the first round already banged up, already hurt.
Yeah, I mean, outside of Derrick Henry, who are you really happy with at running back in the first round for sure? Here are my fantasy football disappointments through 3 weeks. Mike Davis of the Atlanta Falcons. Look, after having the matchup that he's had, especially last week, I mean, you got to be worried here. He has not scored a touchdown. Patterson's very involved in the offense. 14 receptions has essentially saved any kind of value for Mike Davis, but he is not a player going forward that I have much interest in. And if the Falcons keep losing, who knows, they may trade this guy. Russell Gage was supposed to be, speaking of the Falcons, like the number two guy, remember, with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. Oh my gosh, 5 receptions and 28 yards through 3 games. The Falcons have always had a number two guy, right? It was Roddy White and Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. I mean, do they have a second guy? I mean, Arthur Smith was a good offensive coach. What's going on here with the Falcons? Because Pitts, by the way, hasn't done much either. And then I have to say, Jacksonville has been a massive disappointment for me, George. I thought they could be a sleeper this year, and boy, they've been asleep all season. Trevor Lawrence, I've watched Trevor Lawrence for years in college, generational quarterback, and this feels so much this year like Peyton Manning's first year in Indianapolis, and I think that next year he just takes a huge step and becomes an MVP caliber player, but it is not happening, and he is not making the right decisions. He already has 7 interceptions, which has negated anything offensively that he's done. So those are my disappointments, George.
Yeah, I think you can sum this up in 2 things. The Falcons suck. That team is, I don't get it. You mentioned Pitts, right? He probably should be on, maybe should be on this list more than Gage, because Pitts is getting so much play. So he's gonna be, you know, he's gonna be the next coming of Gronkowski and, you know, Kellen Winslow put together, and throwing sharp too. And my God, he's gonna be this kind of player. He's not that yet. Tight end, and we've said it so many times, tight end's a tough position to learn. And if you look at the history of first-year tight ends, it's ugly fantasy-wise. All right, just doesn't happen. Once again, tough position to learn here. The Falcons are a mess, though. I know they beat the Giants. I don't know what that says about the Giants, by the way. That team's a disaster. The Giants find ways to lose. Good for them. All right, so but the Falcons are just a complete mess. And it's not just Lawrence, by the way. All of the rookie quarterbacks. I mean, Zach Wilson, you got – listen, I'm here in New York. All right, Giant fans are ready to jump off ledges, and the Jet fans are ready. The best joke I heard last week was that the Panthers offered the Jets Sam Darnold for Zach Wilson and a number one. Hilarious. I mean, because that's not working right now. Give it time. All right, it's 3 games in. I think he'll be fine. Right, Mac Jones not doing all that much in New England. Josh Fields was utterly pathetic on Sunday. People are thinking, oh my God, Nagy is he's bombing them. Right, he's purposely making sure that Fields can't play well. It's just not good for rookie quarterbacks right now. Once again, not surprised. Tough position to learn here. We have no patience nowadays. Give it time. I think most of them will be fine. I doubt all 5 will be fine. You know, it generally doesn't work out that way. But I think most will figure it out eventually.
All right, George, fantasy football surprises for you. The floor is yours.
Yeah, for this week, Najee Harris. It's not so much the rushing yards. How many passes did he catch last week? I mean, and this may say more negatively about too many. You're right. But doesn't it tell you, Craig, that maybe Ben can't get the ball down the field, or that offensive line is just not holding long enough for him to look the ball down the field? I know they were banged up as well, right? Everyone, Smith-Schuster went out with injury. They didn't have Deontay Johnson to start the game, and Claypool went out a time or two as well here. But Najee Harris catching the ball, none of us saw this coming. PPR, he's gold right now. But I do wonder, that Pittsburgh Big Ben, Small Ben right now, he's Small Ben. Not working out very well there. We already talked about Mike Williams, so I had him on my list as well. Just fantastic play there. And Madison, bring this up because Dalvin Cook gets hurt a lot. Right? He's got an ankle injury. Maybe he's back this week against Cleveland, but Madison is a good back. If Madison was on probably 26 other teams, he's the starting running back. All right? There's maybe 4 teams he wouldn't start for. You know, you can name the four teams that we take their running backs in the first round, Carolina, Dallas, right. New Orleans, those kind of teams. Very good back here. That's why he was a must-grab in fantasy. I don't really necessarily believe in handcuffs, but I would have for Dalvin Cook, was every year we see this, that he misses 2-3 games, and another couple of games he's going to come out of. Always does. So once again, Madison, very good running back, should not be forgotten about.
Yeah, Madison, to me, that was a big moment for him because, as we remember last year when Dalvin Cook was out, we expected huge things from Madison. And I got to tell you, I'm in on him if something would happen to Dalvin Cook for sure. All right, let's go through some disappointments for you, George, either this past week or the season, and you can quantify these if you like to.
Well, Marquise Brown, and we've already talked about him. I mean, that was awful. I almost couldn't believe my eyes. I'm watching that. I had a buddy over. I have a buddy who's a Detroit Lion fan, one of my best friends. Yeah, that wasn't a good Sunday for him. Not a good Sunday at all. All right, so him watching that, he's like, at first of all, he's laughing, right? Brown can't cast it. This is fantastic. And then that kick just, I really thought he just might go on my roof and just jump. All right, I don't think he could believe that kick went in, especially when it bounces off the crossbar. That's just torture, absolute torture. And you try and console the guy. Hey, draft picks, you know, you need them. And the first thing he goes is, oh, we F them up every year anyway, screw them. I was like, oh boy. Funny night though. I enjoyed it. So Marquise Brown, I think you said it earlier, Lamar Jackson still doesn't have any weapons to throw to. They got to get this guy somebody. All right, Marquise Brown, that's a disaster of a game. That can't happen. Justin Fields, I don't know. Maybe Nagy didn't want him to do well, but they didn't roll him out. I mean, you even heard, his name escapes me now, the defensive end for Cleveland say it after the game. He was in the pocket. They didn't roll him out. They didn't move him like we thought that he would. They would. You know, they made it easy for us. Boy, that's a big-time indictment of the offensive coaching in that game. That's not good. But what did Fields have, 3 yards rushing? That awful. Awful, and a lot of people had him in their starting lines because we thought, once again, he'd be an automatic touchdown because he'd run for at least 60, and whatever he did passing, sort of a bonus there to get you a high floor. Didn't happen here. And Hopkins, you know, against Jacksonville, we wanted bigger numbers. We knew he was banged up coming in, but what do we always say? You know, you don't bench your stars, right? You're playing your stars here. If Hopkins starts for Arizona, he starts for me. Well, it didn't work out so well on Sunday. That was a bust for us.
Yeah, I think, look, going into this week, we're going to have massive players that are disappointing and ones that will surprise you. But the key is to watch shows like this and listen to George so we can get ahead of it a little bit here on the show. All right, we're going to come back and wrap up this hour of our show. This is really flown by, George. We're just going right through this today. And then we got our headlines coming up at the top of the hour. And interestingly enough, we are going to go to the Brooklyn Nets media day from yesterday. Now, normally, this is not something that we would do here on this show. We played different clips, obviously, throughout. But a very surprised visitor showed up at media day for the Brooklyn Nets and got to literally ask Kevin Durant several questions. And so you judge for yourself if you think it turned out to be funny or not. I guess that gives it away, a little bit of a comedian angle there. I was surprised to see it and hear it. So we're going to play that back for you as well coming up at the top of the hour. So stay with us. Plenty more to come here on Fantasy Sports Today. This is Sports Grid at sportsgrid.com. Craig Nish, George Kurtz in for Davis Maddock today here on this Tuesday. And we'll be back on the grid in just 2 minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish along with George Kurtz. And George, 3 weeks into the fantasy football season, I know that your attention over the next couple of weeks has got to be shifting toward the ice. I'm starting to see the tweets coming in hot and heavy. NHL is your thing. It's your bag. I don't know if it's your favorite, but it's amongst your favorites. Anything interesting here in the first couple of days of training camp? I know if I'm not mistaken, preseason games are starting soon too, right?
Yes, preseason has started. The Islander Range game was Sunday night. It was great here. I'm watching the Yankees on one TV, the Islanders on another TV, and the Green Bay San Fran game on the big screen. So good night. Good night for sports to be able to watch all three. The NHL regular season starts in 15 days. Had to do some math there. 7 + 7 + 1. 15 days here. Biggest news is probably, we've lost some top players. Crosby, wrist surgery. Looks like he's going to miss most of October. Malkin, we found out, same team, which really brutalizes this team. You're talking two Hall of Fame players. Now, he had, I think, his knee surgery, and he's going to miss up till maybe December. So that's what what you're hearing here. It's just like football. That's what we worry about here, right? The late injury news. Mike Hoffman, Montreal. Apparently, he hurt himself while trying out for Montreal. We just didn't hear about it. Now the training camp is open. We're hearing about the injuries, that he's going to miss probably half of October, maybe or something like that. So just like football and preseason, you start praying, please don't get hurt. Please don't get hurt. Same thing here. Injuries are coming in.
Yeah, all time. And listen, I'm looking forward to doing some NHL segments with George coming up this year too, with George filling in for Davis once a week and me out, George filling in for me. Okay, that will do it for our first hour of the show. It just came and went like that. Now we have another hour to go. So we got our headlines coming up at the top of the hour. We're going to give you a little bit of an insight as to how you could potentially get ready for a best ball NBA fantasy basketball draft season that's coming up. We'll bring in Brett Levy for that. We got fantasy or reality and our first look at Tom Brady returning home to New England. Bruce Arians weighed in on that yesterday. So we will give you an update on that as well. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. And we got more coming up after Chris's update. Stay on the grid.
Sports happens every day, and we give you expert insights and information on gaming, odds, and more.
Every day.
You see a trend?